This is VOA News. I'm Laurel Berman. The U.S. has denied a visa to Iran's foreign minister for a trip to U.N. headquarters in New York to attend its Thursday Security Council meeting, a violation of a 1947 U.N. headquarters pact requiring the U.S. to allow foreign officials into the country to handle U.S. business, U.N. business. Foreign Minister Mohammad Javad Zarif said he was informed of the decision by U.N. Secretary General Antonio Guterres, drawing criticism from the Iranian leader on Twitter. The 1947 U.N. deal generally requires the U.S. to allow foreign officials access to the U.N., but the Trump administration maintains it can deny visas for reasons related to security, terrorism, and foreign policy. Meantime, in Iraq, the question becomes, will U.S. troops be allowed to stay in that country? Dale Gavlak has this for VOA.
Jordanian analyst Osama El-Sharif says the immediate outcome of the Trump administration's move to kill Qasem Soleimani has been the controversial decision by the Iraqi parliament to adopt a resolution calling on the government to expel U.S. troops from the country. He views this as a great victory for Iran and its allies in Iraq.
Multiple bad judgment policies and decisions by the U.S. has allowed the Iranians to establish more than a foothold in Iraq with many proxies and their influence on the political mechanism, playing the sectarian cards.
Meanwhile, American political analyst Stephen A. Cook, writing in the publication Foreign Policy, argues there is nothing left for the U.S. to do in Iraq and it should leave. Cook says the hard truth is that Iraq is lost and it's time to leave. Dale Gavlak for VOA News. Amman.
Defense Secretary Mark Esper says Monday that the United States is not withdrawing troops from Iraq, with the top U.S. military officer explaining that a letter from a senior military officer that appeared to suggest withdrawal was a poorly worded mistake. This is VOA News. Australian Prime Minister Scott Morrison says he will pay whatever it takes to help victims of devastating bushfires in that country, which have burned millions of hectares across three states. Morrison committed an extra $1.4 billion to a new fund that will help rebuild damaged towns and infrastructure. His government said that additional funds would be made available as needed. The announcement came as another death was confirmed in the state of New South Wales, raising the total to 25. An estimated 2,000 homes have been destroyed. More than 100 fires are still burning. A strong earthquake struck Puerto Rico early Tuesday, the latest in a series of quakes to hit the U.S. territory in recent days. The 6.4 magnitude quake was located near the southern coastal city of Ponce, according to the U.S. Geological Survey, revising its initial reading of 6.6 magnitude. The Pacific Tsunami Warning Center issued an alert immediately after the quake was reported, but it was later canceled. Former White House National Security Advisor John Bolton says he's prepared to testify at President Trump's impeachment trial if the Senate issues a subpoena. AP Washington correspondent Sagar Magani reports from the White House.
Bolton's testimony would give a highly anticipated firsthand account from a top advisor who was in the room for moments others have already described, and it's unclear whether that would help the president or hurt him. Senate GOP Chief Mitch McConnell wants a fast trial and has resisted calling new witnesses, though Democrats want to hear from Bolton and others who did not appear during the House inquiry. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi has not yet sent the articles of impeachment to the Senate while pushing for that testimony. If she does in the coming days, the Senate trial could start as soon as this week. Sagar Magani at the White House.
Venezuelan opposition leader Juan Guaido entered the country's legislative building Tuesday, 2 days after the ruling Socialist Party installed its own parliamentary leadership, the latest development in an effort to gain control of Venezuela's last democratic institution. Guaido and a handful of opposition lawmakers forced their way into the National Assembly after a standoff with President Nicolas Maduro's security forces initially prevented them from entering. After the half-hour confrontation with troops, Guaido made his way toward his seat and led lawmakers in the singing of the national anthem. Shortly thereafter, the electricity went out, dimming the building and rendering microphones unusable. I'm Laurel Berman for VOA News.